This is definitely bad. Would it be possible to crave your indulgence, given the climate, given the stuffiness of this atmosphere? Would you mind allowing people to take their jackets off if they wish to? Your decision.
If people want to take their jackets off, please feel free to ask them.
Thank you.
Say and decide. You've got the advantage, it's not so easy for me to take off. Chain off. Okay, item one on the agenda, approval of the minutes of the meeting of the council held on 19th May 2025 as published on the council's website. Are they approved?
Seconded.
Sorry, seconded, yeah. Okay. And apologies for absence.
Then my apologies from Councillor Jane Barron, Councillor Carter, Councillor Mazzell, Councillor Powell, Councillor Gordon, and Councillor Manny Burns.
Apologies from Councillor Julie Reid.
Thank you.
From Councillor Doug Excel.
Okay. No more. In that case, item three, any declarations of interest?
No.
Well, in terms of announcements, I have one from myself, as probably believe it was one of them. Well, first of all, it's with sadness that I have to announce the passing of former Alderman Kenneth Stewart Williamson. Would you like to stand and please join with me in one of the silence?
Please just say a few words about Ken. He served the council for a good while. Ken was representative for Notion Woods East from 2003 to 2019. And he was very good as cabinet member for resources 2009 to 2019. Not everyone would have met Ken, but he was a genuine man. He spent his life working in the coal industry, not underground but above ground, I understand, and then he opened as a manager in the north of the county. When the coal industry pretty much took its demise, as we all know about, Ken retired and spent time with his family. He was well known on his patch in Nosal. Him and Anne spent many hours with different organisations in the villages. He dedicated a lot of his time to family and friends, and myself being one of them, which is why I wanted to stand up and say a few words. And next time I visit its favourite deep drinking hole, which was the Georgian Dragon, I will of course raise a glass. And speaking to the landlord of the Georgian Dragon, he said that the first pint that was pulled was actually for Ken. So he's left his mark in Mosul. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, good evening. I just wanted to say a few words because Ken was always small of stature, but an absolutely huge man. He was a man of very few words, but those words he gave you would be treasured, and often had, you know, much inspiration and wise words with him. He absolutely knew his mind and was an iron rod in terms of trying to get money out of him was nigh impossible. And in the days that he controlled the finance portfolio, you could be sure that there was always going to be a fiscal prudence, but also an inability to get anything out of it. And I think he took pride in that. There are a couple in the chamber, in my view, who, when they come and talk in council, talk in a different way. Ken's room was to talk very quietly, and so whenever I listened to his budget speeches, I hardly understood a word of what he said, but I think many others probably also took the same view, because he had hardly ever got any flack for keeping council tax low, which was one of the key prides that he had every year, to be able to stand up and talk about how low he kept the increase in council tax, if he increased it at all. Ken is one of the sort, and he will be deeply missed.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I'll miss Ken. Really will. I can see him sat on the front bench there, saying whatever he was saying about the budget or whatever it came across at that particular council meeting, and then basically calling me an idiot, which I could live with. We had some really good times together. I shouldn't tell you this, should I? But we went to the CIPPA conference quite a few times together. I was chair of scrutiny and he was cabinet member for resources. And yes, he very, very interesting man. As we've just heard, he worked in the coal mining industry. He has some wonderful tales about that. But most of all, he has some wonderful tales about you lot. And that was a really enjoyable. I'll miss him, and let's say I'm sure most people will as well. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Okay, in that case we'll move on to items. Oh, sorry, I thought that was... Thank you, pardon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. It's a bit unusual doing something under announcements, but I think it's probably wise to do it this way. I have a short update regarding local government reorganisation. As members will know, Staffordshire Council, along with five other Southern and Mid-Staffordshire councils, have now engaged KPMG to research the evidence for a submission to government for a new Southern Unitary or Unitaries. As the Council has instructed me to do a special Council meeting earlier this year, I am now working with the other five boroughs and district leaders. These meetings take place on a regular basis around the county. Also, as per instructions by the Council, our Chief Executive Officer is now working with the five other CEOs to help the leaders find a workable solution. My priority in these talks is to get the best outcome possible for the residents of our area, including the preservation of the existing boundaries of Stafford Borough within a new unitary authority. This, and it will remain, is our red line. I'll continue to keep all group leaders up to date with the evidence research and talks with other councils. I would also like to reassure members that I'll keep you informed of the latest position via full council or special council's briefings. This is a complicated task the government has set for us, and one many believe is not necessary, but we have no choice but to complete it and get the best outcome for our residents of our borough. To finish, Mr. Deputy Mayor, the all-party Stafford Town Council Working Group has now been established and is now working towards a proposal for the new Stafford Town Council. and I have to say I thank the chair and the members of the working group for their enthusiasm for the task they've taken on. And again, members will be kept fully informed as to the work they're doing and the recommendations that come forward. Mr. Deputy Mayor, please rest assured that I will keep members fully informed of these processes in the near future. Thank you very much.
I'm not quite sure what it's the debate time.
It's not a debate, it's just an announcement.
It's just an announcement, so
can I ask a question?
My discussion is a brief question for clarification, yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you to the leader for that statement. I think that's really helpful, and I also thank him for the courtesy that he has given, certainly myself, and by the sense of things, other group leaders, in terms of keeping us up to date on local government reorganisation. Given the last reorganisation happened just over 50 years ago, one has an anticipation or an expectation that, that this one will also be long-lived. I also appreciate, having seen the Staffordshire Moorlands proposals a couple of weeks ago, which did look at splitting both Stafford Borough and East Staffs based on some notional boundaries, and also looked at splitting divisions as well as not only the district. So I appreciate what was said in the brief statement. But could we get an update in terms of the original proposal to include public consultation as part of the as part of the process that we'll go through between here and the end of November, please?
We'll be talking to all stakeholders in the next few months.
Thank you. Public questions are item 5. No? In that case, moving on to item 6, Councillor Session, I call upon Councillor Beattie to ask the question 6A.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I won't go through the question because it's printed out, except simply to repeat the question at the bottom. How does the Borough Council plan to stem the tide of opportunist developers, which are becoming a massive problem in this borough?
Thank you. The councillor acknowledges that she's asked these questions before, and she has. Councillor Beattie nevertheless makes some of the same inaccurate claims again, so let's clarify things. The council has already and continues to take every opportunity to point out to the government the impact of their new planning framework and mandatory targets on our borough. We are handling a situation that was not of our making. The adopted plan for Stafford Borough 2011 to 2031 is and will continue to be used for making decisions on planning applications. Although settlement boundaries now have less weight for new housing developments as a result of recent government decisions through the National Planning Policy Framework, the council will now respond to approaches from developers putting forward land to ensure the adopted plan continues to be delivered alongside the necessary infrastructure services and facilities for our local communities. Councillor Beattie asked for the timeline, yet has repeatedly been shown the timeline for the new local plan. Any relevant evidence previously collected by the borough will be reused, updated and refreshed according to the new legal process. But the former administration did not collect the minimum now required to progress a local plan. Councillor Beattie has even argued against collecting more evidence, voted to halt collecting evidence, urged the Borough Council to progress her former plan despite a large volume of high-quality negative feedback to her own preferred options and insufficient evidence. Half the former administration's front bench argued against aspects of her local plan, either verbally or in writing. Progressing the old plan was not practical. Adequate budget is now in place to draw up a proper local plan and to subsequently put forward the proposed options for consultation with our communities. We are giving our communities another chance to have a say on their future. While Councillor Beattie has been pushing to continue her flawed plan, Councillor Beattie would deny our communities any further right to influence changes. I disagree with that approach, which in any case is simply not practical. And our process brings the local plan back to local communities to have a say. The reintroduction of a pre-application service will help shape and guide developer applications in alignment with community needs. Developers who avail themselves of this service should then be able to submit applications that proceed faster through the application process, as they will already know what they need to do. Now, the best way to ensure the local residents have a say in their future, the future of the communities and the borough as a whole, is through our new local plan. We need it to have robust evidence, present realistic options, is consulted well, progress at pace, and meets the legal requirements. Until then, I will continue to ensure that our development management team have the necessary resources to be able to handle applications, and will ensure they have access to the appropriate evidence to enforce our policies on applications. Anyone who is promoting a large-scale residential development at this time is urged to engage in a pre-application process with the council officers. This is a proven method of ensuring that good quality planning applications come forward that benefit our current and future communities.
Before I ask any of the councillor if they'd like to comment, Councillor Leeds, have you got a supplementary question to that?
Yes, yeah, supplementary to that. Thank you very much for the response. But does the cabinet member recognise that this regulation that's been imposed by central government is going to lead to unplanned speculative development which will undermine our planning system? It's going to result in poorly planned homes built in unsustainable locations, and then we're now entering a phase of poor quality housing development which is going to be determined at appeal against the policies of this council, and it will entirely upset the local trust in the planning system, which be damaging to our planning department, which has already got very, very limited resources. And it seems such a shame that this authority didn't grab an issue in July 24 when other authorities did do so, when this administration, the Conservative administration, was gone and the amalgamated administration had taken over. Several authorities managed to complete their local plans. Examples being South Staffordshire and Winchester. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Yes, Councillor Beattie refers to her local plan and suggests that should have progressed. Councillor Beattie's plan proposed 538 houses a year. We now have targets somewhat above what that plan had proposed. Councillor Beattie proposed 6,000 new houses on Grade 2 agricultural land west of the M6 in a sharp break from decades of common practice in our borough. About half the former front bench, as I said earlier, publicly wrote or spoke in opposition to that proposal in one aspect or another, whether that's Gateway, Nosall, Woodseas, Meesbrook or other aspects. By restarting the plan process, upgrading the evidence, following the new consultation method, we are returning to the community to give them some choice, some control over their new settlements, given the new requirements. Under our new local plan process, communities will have some measure of choice. The opposition have repeatedly advised us to ignore communities, run roughshod over their objectives in the previous preferred options consultation by progressing their plan as was. We are returning to those communities to allow them a second chance to influence rather than simply ignoring their objections. It's this administration, the Independents, the Greens and Labour, who are returning choice to communities by restarting that process. In the meantime, we are funding our departments fully, for they have adequate funds for the local plan, and we are correcting and changing and funding our planning team as well. Now, in terms of not having the appropriate control over individual cases, you may have missed the statement by the Minister today in Parliament, but it was made clear to us that it is possible, and I will ask the details for this, but it is possible to take multiple applications in the round when making planning decisions. We can refer to other applications in process when evaluating current applications. I have asked the details on this, and I'll ask for clarification, and I'll be working with officers on that and other options that are available to us. until the time when the local plan finishes its course.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Good evening, everyone. How many sort of housing and building sites do we have in Staffordshire? Plus, how many are taking time to put there to good use? I believe all councils will be interested in this answer. Developers are taking advantage of the fact we have no local plan. It's like the old saying, it's the case of, well, the cat's away, the mice don't play. Thank you.
I remind councillors that this section has 10 minutes or 2 minutes left.
I remind the council that we do have a local plan. The 2031 plan continues to be in force and continues to be used for planning policy purposes alongside the national planning policy framework. We do have that plan. The ability of us to control the spatial elements of that plan carry less weight than they used to, but the plan is still viable and is still in force. In terms of the number of locations, there are applications in process, and you can have a look at some applications that are live in process. Some of them are only in screening stage, and a couple of them are at the point of Section 106. I cannot discuss details of individual applications, but there are applications in the planning portal. You can have a look there. In terms of other potential sites, we need to look at them when they come forward. There are lots of places where landowners and developers have offered land, but that doesn't necessarily mean that land will come forward before the local plan process.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The question I want to ask is really simple. The question on the papers was, what is the Borough Council doing to stem the flow of speculative development? And I heard very little in the response. I heard lots about local plan making, but I didn't hear anything in the response in terms of what is the strategic response rather than looking at each application on its own merits. It is very clear that the local plan is out of date, and very clearly it is legally out of date because it's not been reviewed in the last 5 years. That is down to the Borough Council's administration. It is practically out of date because the crucial 5-year land supply hasn't been met, and it is structurally out of date. So effectively, to turn around and say that we've got a fully operational local plan, and we have a local plan that's certainly not fully operational, what is the Cabinet member doing in instructing his officers to do to find better strategic approaches to be able to resist the mass development that we are seeing within the rural areas? I attended a meeting recently with 250 people. A petition that is running has now got 2,500 signatures, and the people in this borough do not feel that this administration is doing enough to protect them from mass overdevelopment.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No one's in favour of mass overdevelopment. No one is in favour of overdevelopment at all. Not even developers are in favour of overdevelopment, the market that they're in. So I think we can all agree on that point. In terms of a strategic approach to a case-by-case review of applications, the strategic approach is the local plan. We need to move forward with the local plan, and there may be other mechanisms within that process, such as SPDs or housing lists or other elements that we can bring forward, discussing that with the officers as to whether there are cases of other authorities doing something similar in the past. I know, for example, tonight Stoke City Council are reviewing 5,000 new houses and sites for that, and they're adding that to their agenda to discuss tonight. It may well be that is a solution for us. It may not be, since they're a strategic body and we're not. We're a planning authority without being a housing authority or a strategic authority. But today's announcement in Westminster Hall debate is very interesting in that these may not need to be taken in isolation, that we may well be able to look at individual applications together in the round and justify that some applications are more sustainable and some are less sustainable. And referring back to what Councillor Reedy said at one point, unsustainable development is absolutely against the NPPF. Any applications would need to show that they are sustainable development in order to progress. So I believe we do have legal protections against unsustainable development, and I believe we also have those same protections against overdevelopment.
Thank you. The final question, Councillor Kent.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Given some of the statements that have been made, could the Cabinet Member confirm that to progress from the third option stage to Regulation 18 to Submission Regulation 19, it was essential to have a robust evidence base. Extensive evidence relating to the plan and the proposal was required. It was estimated that this would take at least 2 to 3 years to complete the evidence base for testing to the implementation. This is not where we are.
Deputy Mayor, that's a very good introduction there, and that is absolutely spot on. The crux of the preferred options was a means of proposal, and the crux of that was a railway station, and the crux of that was HS2. Things have changed since then. We need to reevaluate. I will not prejudice any particular site or case that may or may not come forward, but that creates a very fragile, very easy to challenge, and we have seen the contributions on preferred options, high quality contributions that did challenge the viability of large parts of the preferred options. And there was not time to progress under the new framework, and there was insufficient evidence under the new evidence regulations to progress the former local plan. We have to restart. We have restarted, and we are going through the process of gathering evidence. We'll be moving on to consultation with local communities so that they have a choice over their current communities and their future communities.
Okay, that's gone through the attendance there. So, thank you, Councillor. So, that's item 7. There are no notices of motion, as I understand it. So, item 8, the annual scrutiny business report. Does a scrutiny chair wish to move the recommendation, please? Councillor Edgeworth?
Yeah.
Who seconds that?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. In that case, Councillor. Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. May I take this opportunity to thank the Community Wellbeing Committee for the commitment of this year. We have had a full agenda and debated many issues. One of the main subjects has been the setting up of the Task and Finish Group, chaired by Councillor Martin Phillips, looking at how we can looking at how we can adopt a good waste policy, which comes into force next year. We have had good help and guidance from our officers on many issues. Thank you. Our agenda is practically full for the following year, so let's get on with the job and try to make a difference for the people and staff that work. Can I also thank Jackie Allen for keeping my water jug full? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Deputy.
I
think this scrutiny report. The reason I'm sort of some share of resources echoing what Anne's just said, I would like to thank the officers for the time and effort they've put in for this, and more importantly, the members who attended this meeting and in a very, very intelligent way put to all the different agenda items that we've got. So thank you very much, all of you, for that. We discussed the budget in grant in January and the fees and charges. We looked at the constitution. We had a working group, and then put that forward to full council. We had a review of complaints, and it was quite reassuring to know that there are less complaints about the borough than there were last year. So that's an interesting one. And in terms of KPIs, it became apparent that. Resources is a problem, as you'd expect with local government's organisation. There is a staff of officers who want to sort of be in the public sector. And I do hope that we get some sort of measured response as we go forward just to settle the staff down, because they are upset by what's going on at the moment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
Councillor.
Anyone else wish to speak before Councillor?
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I won't repeat what my colleagues have just said, but to say thank you very much to the officers and to the members of our committee. One of the things that, in a way, has perplexed us and perhaps vexed us a bit is the relevance of scrutiny to this authority. On 3.1 it says scrutiny is an important function in every council operating executive arrangements, and it's very important, I think, that the work of scrutiny is not just recognised, but it is actually adopted by the Cabinet and by the Council as a whole, and that we know what parts have been adopted and what parts have not been accepted. So turning to our report, we very much, in the background of the work that's been done, and it's an excellent amount of work that's been done, and I thank members, we questioned as to what success looks like for our committee. And I'm not sure that we've got an answer yet, because we're not sure that we're getting the feedback that we need in response to it. And it's something perhaps that we might look at as part of the Constitution going forward. Because scrutiny is absolutely an essential part of the work of the committee system. And, for instance, I say 10 recommendations were sent to Cabinet in relation to the town centre work that was done, which was done over the process of a year. I'm told informally that an amount of it has been actually accepted and adopted in work that's been done. But we need that feedback, and I look forward to that happening and to the response from the Cabinet as well. But overall, it's been a successful year. Like the other committees, we've got a very full year ahead of us, and I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. There's no further comments. So, Councillor?
Yes, Councillor Beattie's taken my thunder here, rather. But yes, I would like to echo the point about the importance of scrutiny, and especially the work of the Economic Development, Town Centre and Events Working Party. I reviewed that report. I had that in mind when I reviewed the events policy that came before Cabinet, and I do recognise a number of the points that came out of the working group are in that events policy, and I'll continue to do a review with Cabinet members in the appropriate areas on how especially that events policy and the approach to Town Centre with Councillor Kenny. How we can then pull some of those other ideas in and incorporate them. This is scrutiny working as it should, working really well, and I do see every time we have a scrutiny meeting that Councillor Beattie chairs it really well and keeps things moving and makes sure the right topics are there. I think that's a great example of how scrutiny should work and is working. So well done.
Thank you, Councillor. In that case...
Can I just add feedback, please? That's the
answer. Yeah. Thank you. And that's... We're just noting this scrutiny business report, and I will vote aye. Is that for the motion seconded? All those in favour? Anybody against? No abstentions in which case? Okay, thank you, councillors. The next stage of the agenda, I'm going to ask the councillors to explain the rules of confidentiality, please.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. So the next two items are recommendations from Cabinet. They were the subject of confidential reports that went to Cabinet. So if this chamber wants to discuss any of the details on the pink sheets or any of the confidential information, I'd recommend that you resolve to move this rest of the session into confidential. If you're happy to go ahead and vote on recommendations as they are, then we don't need to. But if you do want to discuss the detail, please do resolve to go to confidential.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I do want to discuss it, but I don't think I'm touching on any of the confidential details, so I'd be more than happy to leave it in an open forum.
Thank you. thank you, Councillor Burr. My own opinion of the solicitor's opinion is yours may not capture that area, but subsequent conversation might go in that direction. So if we're going to debate at all, I would suggest.
Members will have seen what's on the pink sheet, so they should see what's confidential. If in doubt, we'll come to your speech, then we should move. But if the move of the motion is, if it's confident, we can move the motion without discussing confidential. If the speaker's confident, they can discuss it without mentioning confidential information. We don't need to.
How do you wish to proceed, Councillor? Do you want to speak?
Certainly, ma'am. I'm happy to speak. I don't think I'm going to touch any confidential information. And whoever responds, I would be surprised if they didn't. But at that stage, if the speaker wants to then turn it confidential, then so be it.
Yes. I'll ask Councillor Kelly if he'd like to, within those limits.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'm not going to go through the recommendations, they are set up as they are. I am somewhat confused that if there's any questions arising from information that's in the public domain, the answer's all there. If there's any questions outside of the public domain, then we should be able to come to the session.
Okay. Right, that's the... Is that seconded, please? Thank you, Councillor. Right, now we're going to Councillor Kurt.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I have no real problem with either of the items as they stand on the agenda, but I would like just to pick up two subsidiary points, because I think it's particularly important, given the amount of work that's already going on elsewhere within the Borough Council, but also across the country in terms of the resources that are there. So my first question does relate to resources, and it really hits the point about, given the number of other big projects of a similar nature that we have already going on, which are obviously in the public domain, can I have a commitment that we have the right knowledge and experience of officers to be able to deliver these schemes properly and as we would want? Because obviously, to make a success of these isn't to leave the schemes mottled, and I'm sure that's not the cabinet members' desire either. So can I have a commitment that we've got the right level of skill and seniority of officers to be able to handle this on top of everything else that's going on within the county town? And the second point is just a slightly wider point. Clearly, as a landowner now of a number of sites, can I also have some comments in terms of a commitment to a town centre master plan, because that to me ties all of this back together again. I've been in a number of chambers over a number of years. I'm back in one shortly, thankfully. I've heard a lot of conversations about master plans, but often you find one authority or partner or another tries to do it by themselves, and I think it's really important for the future of our county town that that conversation is tied together and we get a robust master plan. I don't think I've got anywhere near confidential.
No. Question, do you want to answer those?
Yeah, I think absolutely reassure members that we have the suitability within our existing team, and we also have some external help, and they are progressing very well with all aspects of the council's regeneration, and I have confidence in them, and I'm sure that's shared by the members. Just looking through, and to give a response on your second question, because some of it is responses within the big paper and not within this paper.
I think that is a good response.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. In that case, no other further comments. Happily, we can take that to a vote. It's been proposed and seconded. All those in favour? Anybody against? Or abstentions? Thank you, councillors.
Yes.
Which brings us on to
Question 9.2. Again, Councillor Reid.
Again, same pattern, Mr Deputy Mayor. This is a confidential paper, so if we should discuss any detail about this particular acquisition, we should go into confidential.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. This has been a long-standing plan across a number of different administrations and bodies. I fully support what we're doing here, propose that the Council adopt it. If you've got any detailed questions, let's follow up afterwards, but I think the opportunity for questions has been around for a while. If anyone's got anything to say about it, please let me know. We are implementing a plan, it's been long-standing. The team knew this was coming, and we are prepared in terms of resources and team expertise.
Thank you, Councillor. Let's have 7 minutes, please. Thank you. And in that case, we'd like to vote on it. Sorry, it's a comment. Is that a question?
No, it's a
voting. On voting. We want to let you miss the opportunity. All those in favour, please.
I don't know you want to watch it.
No. Those against? Any abstentions? Thank you. In that case, finally, item 10. Any items from scrutiny committees?
Yes.
In that case, thank you, Councillors.
Councillors, thank you. I'm in the standing. Deputy Mayor, Borough, Councillor Andrew Cooper, retired from Councillor Baker.